Stuck at the end of Oz Beis yesterday, so let's finish that up. Ukishe b'nei Yisrael mekablim aleihem malchuso yisbarach. Oz nisgalek v'od malchuso al kol nivram. As we've been learning, the Jewish people are in the driver's seat. And when we accept upon ourselves HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom, so the entire Bria, the entire universe, comes along with us. Ki kol echad mi Yisrael kolel besocho chelek meha'olam. Because every single Jew contains within himself a chelek, a portion of the world. Let's explain what that means. What does it mean? If anyone doesn't have a copy, I have a few more. What does it mean? It's the same one from yesterday, though, and the day before. What does it mean that every Jew contains... Try to hold on to the sheets. What does it mean? What does it mean that that every Jew contains within himself a portion of the world? So we turn to one of our Rebbeim, the Shem Yishmuel. It's like that. This morning, Jeremy, what's up?
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
No pressure, okay. The Heilige Shem Yishmuel. Yeah, good. Okay, the Shem Yishmuel, the Rebbe of Sukachov, son of the Avnei Nezer. Shem Yishmuel and Parshas Hazinu from the year Tuf Resh Ayin Vav. So what year would that be? What year are we in now? We're in 2019, Tafresh Ayin Tes. So that means Ayin Vav is, this. If Ayin Tes is 19, then Ayin Vav is 16. And we're in Taf Shin, and that was Tafresh. So what? So what year? 1916. Okay? Here's what the Shem Yishmuel said in 1916. Parshas Hazinu, pieces of Shem Yishmuel. Zechor Yemos Olam, like the Pasuk says in Hazinu, Zechor Yemos Olam. You should study history. Know how the world works. Yeah, who knows the rest of the pasuk? Ah, beautiful. Zechor Yemos Olam, Binu Shnos Dor Vador. Zechor Yemos Olam. You should zechor. You should remember. You should know. Yemot Olam. The days of the world. Understand a little history. Understand. Says Rashi, what happened to the earlier ones and how they angered Hashem. Learn from past mistakes. Binu. Bina. Binu. Understand deeply. Shnos dor vador. Understand the earlier doros. Says Rashi, understand dor enosh. Understand dor hamabel. Understand things that went right and things that went wrong in earlier generations. And learn from it. Okay? Sha'al avicha v'yagedcha, says the pasuk. Pasuk continues, ask your father and he will tell you. Speak to the earlier Doros. Zekeinecha v'yomrulach. Speak to the Zekeinim. They'll tell you what it was like. And it's important to not live in your own little bubble. It's important to understand where you fit into this timeline of Jewish history, of world history. It says the next pasuk, I'm just reading from the Chumash, V'hanchel elyon goyim v'afridu b'nei adam, yatsev givulos amim l'mispar b'nei Yisrael. Learn history, says the pasuk. Speak to the study of the earlier generations. Speak to your parents. Speak to your grandparents. Understand how Hashem created and divided many different peoples. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was what? Yatsev Givulos Amim. Hashem established the borders, the boundaries of the nations. Lemispar B'nei Yisrael. In accordance with the number of the Jewish people. Lemispar B'nei Yisrael. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? So says the Shem Yishmuel an amazing thing. Yaakov's family, when they came down to Mitzrayim, numbered how many people? 70 people. We often talk about the Ayin Umos, the 70 nations. So to speak, when Yaakov's family was sort of taking on its first form, it was made up of a core group of 70 individuals. Yaakov, his wives, the children. That initial family unit of Yaakov Avinu was made up of 70, corresponding to the 70 nations of the world. Obviously, as the Jewish people grew, right, we have to reassess. So in a certain sense, says the Shem Yishmuel, those 70 Jews correspond, each one corresponded to a different nation of the world. Let's explain what that means. Today, there are, I don't know, how many Jews in the world? Approximately? How many Jews in the world? Somewhere, 15 million plus. Okay? How many people are there in the world?
8 billion.
What's the 8 billion? Crazy number. So says the Shem Yishmuel, just like 70 Jews in Mitzrayim corresponded to the 70 nations of the world, Yatzev Gevulos Amim, know a little history, know the role of the Jew, not just in his shul or in his community or in his house, but understand the role and the impact the Jew has on the world. I'm not just talking about how many Nobel Peace Prizes we've won, which doesn't really make a lot of sense percentage-wise. I'm talking about the broader impact that we have in the natural world, but all the more so spiritually, the hashpa that we have on the world, the achrayis that we have for the world. Again, I'll say it again. Being a Jew is not a bragging right. It's not holier than thou to look down upon others. It's a responsibility that we take for others. So if there are 15 million Jews in the world today and 7.5+ billion people in the world, that means every Jew has X number of corresponding non-Jews that are somehow connected to him or her. Again, it doesn't mean that we're in charge of them. It means we take responsibility for them. Now, maybe someone you've never met. Actually, it's very likely that it's someone you've never met. Every one of us, again, depending on our neshamos, have X number of people who we're achrayi for, who we're responsible for. So I told you, I was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming this summer. So my wife and I went ATVing, and our tour guide was a guy who took us around, was named Ryan. Then we went to Yellowstone National Park, and the tour guide's name was Lee. Okay? Why did I meet Ryan and Lee? I don't know. Maybe there's some soulful connection. They were both great guys. You know, spent a good chunk of time with both of them. What's my connection on a spiritual level to Ryan and Lee? Maybe something, maybe nothing. I don't know. But let's imagine for a second that it wasn't by chance that Ryan and I met up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. You know, let's imagine that there was a reason Hashem brought us together. Maybe there's some spiritual responsibility that I have for Ryan or for Lee. Lee has two kids. He's got a son and a daughter. They do all sorts of fun after school activities, because that's what you do when you live in Wyoming. Whitewater rafting as like a daily after school activity. You know, climbing mountains. Cool stuff. So imagine one time Lee's daughter, who happens to be very talented, he told us, at whitewater rafting. She can do like cool tricks, you know, like flip over the kayak, like in the rapids, and then like somehow survive. So it could be, again, we don't know for sure, and it's not something, again, it's not something that we say, we don't say this lightly. We're not imposing ourselves upon the world. We're taking responsibility for the world. So imagine Lee's daughter one day, she's kayaking out on the water, yeah? And I don't know, and I'm sitting with a chavrusa, learning Torah. Okay? And instead of learning that day, you know, for our 45-minute learning session, I decide for the last 10 minutes, I don't know, I'm just going to like talk about what's going on in the NFL. Instead of learning Torah. So says the Shem Yishmuel, without exactly this mashal, says the Shem Yishmuel, if something happens to Lee's daughter out on the water that day, that's your problem. That's your fault. Your Torah could have protected her. If she hurts herself on the water that day or climbing a mountain, that's your fault. If you were talking during Kaddish instead of saying Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach, instead of praising the name of Hashem, if you're talking during Kaddish, which is rude because someone's saying Kaddish for a dead relative, but if you're talking during Kaddish instead of praising Hashem's name, it could be there's some guy named Bob who lives in Idaho. He's been out of work for a couple of months. It's really weighing on him and his family. It could be he's on his way to a job interview. And it could be the success of him getting the job is dependent on you saying, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba. Because Hashem wants Bob to have a good life. Because Hashem cares about the world. Rosh Hashanah is not about the Jewish people. Get this down very clearly, because a lot of people don't get this. Yom Kippur is about the Jewish people. Rosh Hashanah is kol bay olam over in lefan of kibnei marum. Rosh Hashanah is about the whole world being judged. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. It's a day where Hashem wants to rule a blade of grass. But here's the problem, Chevra. A blade of grass doesn't come to shul on Rosh Hashanah. And neither does Bob or Lee or his daughter or Ryan. That Chevra's not coming to shul on Rosh Hashanah. So whose achrayus is it to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu king over the world, which will bring good things to all those people and all those inanimate objects that I just mentioned, the plants and the rocks? Who's going to provide for it? And the answer is Klal Yisrael. So says the Shem Yishmuel. I was tempted to just bring in this piece and just spend the morning learning this piece. It's a small piece. Tafrei Shayin Vav. Parshas Hazinu. Zuchor Yemos Olam. Binu Shnos Dor Vador. Just study a little world history. Understand the Jewish people have always been at the center of everything good or bad that's happening in the world. Understand we're always connected to it. We're always in the news. And understand it well, and understand that what? Yatsev gevulos amim lemispar b'nei Yisrael. In accordance with the number of Jews in the world, in accordance with the number of people in the world, those are your people. That's your achrayis. If you want to read a nice little English book on this topic, Mitch Albom, The Five People You Meet in Heaven. People whose lives you impact, you never know. You get to the Olam HaEmes, and Hashem says, you saved Bob's marriage. And you say, I don't know who Bob is. Hashem says, Bob from Idaho. You don't know Bob from Idaho? Hashem, I have no idea what you're talking about. Bob is going through a hard time. In some way that is beyond you, Bob is deeply connected to the essence of your soul. And because you lived purposefully, Bob's life got better. That's an awesome responsibility. That's a really awesome, that's awesome responsibility. So says the Lord Gedalio, Kol echad mi Yisrael, kol besocho chelak me olam. There's a portion of the world, people, places, things that are dependent upon you, that are connected to you. Val yedei ma'isav nis'ala oso chelak ba'olam sheshayach lo'imo. And when you lift yourself up, guess what? You lift those things connected to you. And when you drag yourself down, guess what? You drag everything with you. O chas v'shalom lehepech. The opposite could be true. Why was the world destroyed? You think about it. By the Mabul. Why did the world have to be destroyed? Why didn't Hashem just kill the people who were making bad choices? The people who were living immorally? The answer is because that's not how it works. The people and the world are connected to each other. So when the people have a complete breakdown, guess what? The world has a complete breakdown too. So Hashem has to destroy a beautiful world, an innocent world, because the humans with Bechira are making bad choices. What? Hashchasa means destruction. Right, like Bal Tashchis. To completely be wasted. Ki be'eis asher yardu b'nei adam madregasam yarad kolabriya imam. It's what the Beis Halevi writes in Parshas Noach and in the Drashos, where the Beis Halevi says, why does Rashi tell us that the birds and the animals are involved in immoral activity? Rashi in Parshas Noach says, even the birds are involved in adultery. Birds, what? What does that mean? Animals, animal adultery? Why are animals involved in adultery? Animals don't have a chira. Animals know their mate. How did animals start choosing something that's super unnatural for animals? You know what the answer is? Because when enough people do it, it changes the whole avira of the world, the animals are also mushpa from it. Beis Halevi writes in Mefurash. When we make bad choices, the world starts to fall apart. The pieces of the world start to crumble. So therefore, kol echad chelek ba'briya shayach lo. When each person makes a bad choice, a part of the world that corresponds to you will either be destroyed or will be built up. V'lachein noach shelo nevad ba'hamabul nitzel gam chelek ha'olam ha'shayach lo. So you know which animals were on the Teva? The animals that corresponded to Noach. Those animals, this was the lion that was Mekusher to the soul of Noach. This was the orangutan that was Mekusher to the soul of Noach. That's why it got on the Teva. That's why it knew to show up to the Teva. How did the animals know what to show up? The animals started showing up. They knew what to do. Because they were connected to the soul of the tzaddik of the generation, Noach. They were all Noach's animals. Uverosh Hashanah be'ez shemamlichem b'kodesh baruch hu al atzmeinu, oz anu mamlichem b'kodesh baruch hu al kol abriya. So, Chevra, this is a beautiful, beautiful meditation for Rosh Hashanah. It's a beautiful image to take with you to davening Rosh Hashanah. Close your eyes for a second, Rosh Hashanah, and think about someone you never met. Let it be Bob from Idaho. Let it be, I don't know, whatever, someone, anywhere. Pick any part of the world. Pick some kid who's being raised in poverty and daven that he should have a chance to make it in the world. It's so powerful. Yeah, picture a tree, right? That's either going to blossom or it's going to wither. And your Shemona Esrei on Hashanah is going to affect that? And the answer is, yes, it will. It's a wild idea. But that's what we believe as Jews. That we have been tasked with what? With taking responsibility for the world. And being Mamlech Hashem or the whole Bria. Halavai, we should get the word out and tell the Umos HaOlam, guess what? On Rosh Hashanah, you're also being judged. I'm not going to give them a machzah. They don't have to daven, you know. They're not Jewish. They're not bound by the Seder Hayom. But it's not a terrible idea for the whole world to know that Kol Bai Olam, the whole world is being judged by Hashem. And if they're not stepping up, we have to double and redouble our efforts. Yeah, Harris. So, of course. That's a very scary thought. That if I don't step up on Rosh Hashanah, and I'm not signed and sealed in a way that's positive, there are things around the world that are going to be hurting because of that. People, places, things. Someone's washing machine in California could break because of your lack of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. I know that sounds crazy, but MS Anima Amin Baza, I really believe in that. I really, really believe in that. So you can say it's not fair to them. I don't want to do that piece of the equation right now. Because I'm not doing it as a bragging right, I'm doing it as a responsibility. Forget not fair to them. It's your fault. You should probably go track them down and pay them for a new washing machine. How do you know? Again, it's a bigger sugya, obviously. Complicated idea. But it's a very powerful idea. It's a massive responsibility. And it's a very, again, it's a very powerful image to take to you to Rosh Hashanah. To daven for the world. To be Mamlech Hashem over the whole world. Yes, Joseph. Let's hear. Again, it doesn't absolve any individual from personal responsibility. Right? I'm 38 years old. There's still things that my parents do for me. But at this point, you know, a lot of things I have to do myself. So I know there's people looking out for me. I know there's people who've got my back. And obviously, as one grows and matures, hopefully one takes more responsibility. But we have to acknowledge there's a blade of grass. Again, somewhere in Kentucky that doesn't know what it means to be Mamlech Hashem over itself. So we have to help it. It's unfortunate that it doesn't know. But we have to help it to know. We have to teach it to know. That's those tiles of the Rebbe Rashab's house. And every tile should know God. Right? Or the Shtender, or the Balatanya, or the Magid. They want, you know, they wanted inanimate objects to know Hashem. To recognize that there's a creator. Yes? That's true. Of course, absolutely. Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Noach was the tzaddik. He was the one who was practicing whatever was appropriate to practice at that point in world history. And other people weren't. They were living immoral lives. Lives that were obviously unethical to a person of morals and ethics. So Hashem said, I have to undo it. Yeah. Yes. That's here. No, say, go.
So that just brings so to ask you to understand why, like, the analysis of the story.
Okay. Okay.
The reason is, it says, if the atonement, the animals that should come out of you
should be like you. Very good. Right.
Like you, and you say, like, around the third, that the same here.
Right.
They have to be done with them.
So spiritually like you. Very good. Very good. Very, very good. Okay, Chaver, two lines from the bottom. So now we understand that Rosh Hashanah, again, don't make the mistake. Rosh Hashanah is not a Jewish, I mean, of course it's a Jewish holiday, but it's not solely a Jewish holiday. The whole world is being judged. We happen to be the ones who say we're going to help the world on this day. Therefore, we say v'chein yiskadesh shimcha Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael amecha. The kiddush Hashem should come through Klal Yisrael. U'kishin yiskadesh shema al Yisrael, and when we sanctify the name of Hashem through us, u'bnei Yisrael mamulichem haKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem. So what comes next? U'vechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha. You hear? It's mamish in the text. If we're mekadesh shem shemayim, then the awe, the respect, the God awareness will be found, what? On the entire universe. Then everyone will recognize the Creator. Why? How is that so? If we do our job, then the world will do its job. And the answer is yes. Sh'oz nofel yiras Hashem al kol abriya. Va'oz niskal ein kol. And then everyone will recognize, as the tefillah continues, that the ruler, that the right to rule is yours. Sh'ashaltan lefanecha. Oz biyadcha, gvur b'minecha. Right? That the strength is yours, the power is yours, the authority is yours. The world will come to recognize Hashem. Chever, what is Mashiach? We said the Rav Sadia goes and says, you hear the sound of the shofar, you're supposed to picture shofar shal Mashiach. What is Mashiach? Says the Navi, Umalah ha'aretz deya as Hashem. The whole world will be filled with the awareness of Hashem. So we try to create that on Rosh Hashanah. Shekol mashen eshava b'briya hu mei Hashem yisprach. That the whole world should recognize that there's a God in the world, and there's accountability, and Hashem runs the world. Ve'ein shum davar ba'abriya k'mikra ba'alma. And there's nothing in the world that is just mikra, that is just happenstance, that is just chance. Ve'ikir ha'azgalas hazos yelasad lavo, like I just said, the primary revelation of this will take place when Mashiach comes. Kishi azgala ha'malchus shamayim ve'anikar le'ein kol shakarish baruch hu manigas olamo. In the future, the time will come where the world will recognize that Hashem, it'll be, again, identifiable to all, for all eyes to see that Hashem is the manhig, Hashem is the guide, Hashem is the director of the world. Ki oz tiyeh ki sa'avir mamshel ezodon min ha'aretz. Because then the time will come, again, he's just going straight through the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, he's just reading through the paragraphs of Rosh Hashanah. A time will come when Hashem will uproot the mamshel ezodon, the evil empire, from the earth. Who is the Memshel Zadon? Who is this Memshel? We referenced them quite a few times, actually, over the course of the Yom Noram. Who is the Memshel Zadon? Malik. Very good. That's what the Ramchal says. Uviderach Hashem mevuar ki hakavana hu la'amalik. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, author of Mesilas Yesharim, Derach Hashem, the Ramchal writes that the Memshel Zadon is a Malik. Why? Why do we talk about uprooting a Malik on Rosh Hashanah? Why did we just this past Shabbos in the month of Elul lane Parsha Zachar again? Remember what Amalek did to you? Asher karcha baderech. Remember how Amalek attacked you on the way? Nu karcha. Karcha. What is karcha? Could be a lashon of keri, which is tumah. Could be a lashon of kar, which is cold. It could be a lashon of mikra, which is happenstance. Chance, randomness. No one in charge. So therefore, we daven on Rosh Hashanah. And Elul has a lot to do with this, getting rid of Amalek. That's why we just read last Shabbos, the Psukim, about defeating Amalek. Because when we uproot the one who always says that everything's random, then we'll believe that we have responsibility for an ant, and a blade of grass, and a star. When you uproot Amalek, you can believe, like we say in Maariv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? Misaderes HaKochavim. The stars are misudar. It's organized. It just looks like, you know, a bunch of stars up there. No. Hashem will be able to show you this star is yours, and this you know, little stream is yours, and this parked car, yeah, in Texas is yours. I mean, it sounds crazy. It sounds so random. Hashem says, no. It's all deeply precise, it's connected to the essence of your being. And when you get rid of that Amalek mentality of mikra, everything is just, it's random, it's happenstance, my actions don't really matter. Right? Hashem doesn't rule the whole world. Maybe even if he pays attention to people, how much could God possibly pay attention to a leaf in a tree? Can I tell you about a leaf that I love? I told you about that black dot on the wall where I daven on Shabbos. Can I tell you about a leaf that I also really love? When we daven in the Beis Medrash, usually we daven in the social hall. When we daven in the Beis Medrash, where I stand in the shul, there's like a tall window. Usually we daven there like Friday night. So where I'm standing, I can see just like the very top of a tree, like somewhere, you know, off in the distance. And I think every Friday night during davening, you know, like we say in the davening, Kol Atzei HaYa'ar, talk about all the trees are going to sing to Hashem, and the trees are going to clap hands, right? The rivers are going to be rejoicing, you know, the whole world is singing to Hashem. I always said, that's the biggest kitrug on shuls that just like mumble through Kabbalah Shabbos. Don't even like barely sing Lechadodi. Hashem's going to say, the plants sang and clapped their hands. You couldn't clap a little bit Friday night? It was too hard for you. It's too much to ask, Hashem said. You have to schlep your way into Shabbos. Shavas vayinafash, as you bring your nefesh back. You're trying to like pump a little life back into your lifeless body after a week of work. And you just want to run through Kabbalah Shabbos and go home and fall asleep over the soup. That's the goal. So I always look at that tree that's waving in the wind. And I think about how the tree is singing to Hashem. And I also think about, the Baal Shem Tov said how everything, even a blade of grass, even a leaf that's blowing, like I told you the story the other day from Baal Shem Tov, where the leaf fell down and landed on top of the worm. Right? I think about how every movement of the tree is an amazing thing to meditate on. You see, look out that window right now. You can see the tree, the leaves are moving. They're moving b'ashkacha pratis. It's exactly how Hashem wants them to move right now. But why, Rabbi? I don't know why. I have no idea why. But ani ma'amin that tree is moving in a precise way. It's not random. It's b'ashkacha pratis. Simcha Bunim Prashischa said, I think it was Simcha Bunim. You're walking down the street, or a pebble gets caught under your feet, divinely ordained and decreed that rock moves from point A to point B by your foot at that time, in that place. That's amazing. That's an awesome feeling. But there's going to be an amalek part of ourselves that says, what? Nah, come on, you want me to believe that? It's just the trees, whatever. Hashem puts it on autopilot. You know, it's going. It's just doing its thing. Every leaf is moving exactly. I mean, that's a lot of work for God. Okay. Hashem's pretty good. He can handle a lot of things at once. Yeah, so the Mamshel is Zadon that we're trying to remove, I'll take your question in a second, let's just finish the last couple lines, is a Malik. Ki a Malik mechases upon him, because a Malik tries to cover things over. Ki yaro keiska. Today's the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov said that the scariest pasuk, of course, which already Rashi in the Navi says, that the scariest pasuk in Chumash is Anochi Hastir Astir Panai. And Hashem says, I will conceal my face, I'll hide my face from you. What's the double lashon? What's the double lashon of Hastir Astir? A double concealment. Afilu Bastar Shabasocha Astar. What's this double concealment that we're talking about? The Baal Shem Tov said, one level of Astara, which is also sad, not as sad. It's sad to look at that tree and to know that tree, every move it's making is saying something, it's doing something, and to look at it and say, I don't see anything here. I don't get what it is. I know it's Hashem, but it's hidden from me in that I can't interpret the tree. It can be the same thing in front of a blot of Gemara. I don't know how to read Gemara, so I know this is a godly text. It means nothing to me. What's the Hastara Shabbosoha Hastara? What's the double Hastara? The tragedy of all tragedies? Is that you don't even realize that the Gemara is something you should want to know. You don't even realize that tree is moving in the way that Hashem wants it to move. The Baal Shem Tov came to teach the world, right, that everything that's happening is purposeful. There's Ashkacha Pratis over every single thing, not just only Tzaddikim, as some of the Rishonim understood the Sugya of Ashkacha Pratis. And the Baal Shem Tov understood how to interpret the trees. Like the Gemara says in Sukkah, people, Tanoim, who knew how the language of birds and understood the conversations of trees. That is so foreign to us. Halavai, we should be on a level that we believe that the trees are actually saying something. That's one level of Astar. But the worst is the double Astar, to think the tree has nothing to say. The tree has so much to say. The Gemara has so much to say. Nah, Gemara is not my thing. That's the biggest tragedy. It's one thing to say, I know Gemara is holy, I don't get it, I don't know how to read it. Okay, so work on it. The birds are conversing, I don't know what they're saying. Okay, so maybe work on it, I don't know. Get someone to train you in the language of the birds. Like the Gemara tells the story of Elish, who was an expert in bird language. So go learn. There's people who can teach you. Maybe, I'm not saying, maybe do Baba Kama first, you know? And you'll get there. We got to the language of birds and the language of trees. No, what do you want to say?
I just think it drives the point from the Amalek is Gematria
Suffolk. Amalek is Gematria Suffolk, that's right. Amalek has so much to do with Rosh Hashanah and Chodesh Elul and Shofar. There's so much Amalek. There's mamish so much Amalek. I told you once, I think I told you, there's a remez from the Bodhislava Rav. The Bodhislava Rav said, I'll tell you why we blow shofar the way that we blow shofar. And if you understand his calculation, then you'll understand something about Amalek and its connection to Chodesh Elul. By the way, what's the gematria of Zadon? Memshel is Zadon. What's the gematria of Zadon? How much? 67? 67, gematria Elul. Okay? So that's already one connection right there. If Amalek is called the Memshel is Zadon, Zadon meaning the evil empire, so Zadon's gematria Elul. Asher karcha baderech. Right? We're trying to find the derech to the new year. We're trying to find the derech tshuva horesa. Everything has to do with the derech. Amalek always attacks on the derech, trying to block the way. But with the tzaddik, the Bodhislava Rav, he said the following. He said, how many times do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? 100 kolos each day, right? 100 shofar blasts each day. And how many times do we blow shofar on Yom Kippur? We blow that one shofar blast at the end of Yom Kippur. Yeah? And how many times do we blow shofar in Elul? So, you have to figure it out. How many sounds do we make a day? So most people blow a short set, right? We just do tkia, shvarim, trua, tkia. But if you look in Rishonim, some say really you're supposed to blow a full set. What do I mean by a full set? Tkia, shvarim, tkia. Tkia, trua, tkia. Tkia, shvarim, trua, tkia gadola. So if you do that, if you're blowing sort of those 10 sounds a day, how many days of El do you blow shofar? You only have to take out Shabbos. Right? You take out Erev Rosh Hashanah. So you're left with 24 days. So the Bodhislava Rav said if you blow 10 sounds a day, so you blow 240 in Elul, plus another 200 in Rosh Hashanah, that's 440. And when you blow the last one on Yom Kippur, that's 441. That's the 441st shofar blast. 441 is Gematria Emes. So that last shofar blast is, it's good, no? 441 is Emes. But according to his calculation, how many do we blow in Elul? 10 sounds a day, 24 days, 240 is Gematria Malik. So the shofar is sort of the weapon that we use against the Malik. Tfilah. Moshe Rabbeinu with his hands stretched to the heavens, davening, Ribono Shel Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please. Save the Jewish people. Tefillah is a tremendous weapon against Amalek. You know why? Because tefillah is so hard to believe that it makes a difference. Nah, come on. You think tefillah matters? Amalek says, Mikra, come on. You think you did well on the test because you davened for Hashem? You really think it works that way? It's an area where it's very easy to be mezalzel into. It's hard to believe in tefillah. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah is a day of tefillah. It's a day of tefillah by way of the shofar. Hashem, when I cry to you even without words, it makes a difference. All the more so when I express myself clearly. Right? I remove that mikra of Amalek, amamlech Hashem over the whole world, and I remove that blockage, kiyad al keskot, says the pasuk, the hand of Amalek that's on the throne of Hashem. And when we get rid of Amalek, then what? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to express himself in the world. Okay. Os Gimel. Now, Os Gimel is the longest section of this piece. We only have about 15 minutes left. We're going to do all of Os Gimel right now. I'm going to skip some parts. Some parts we've seen already. Let's start in the bottom left-hand paragraph. I'll skip the first paragraph of Os Gimel. What he says in the first paragraph is that a person has to understand that when you were created, the Gemara says in Chulin that l'daita nivro. You were created l'da'atan, which means with your das, with your awareness. You signed off on your life before it was even given to you. So what am I trying to do now? I'm trying to choose what I already chose. I'm trying to re-choose my life. I'm trying to actualize the life that I committed myself to when I signed up before my life even existed. Right? I'm trying to re-choose my life. I'm trying to live out the life that I already signed up for. Okay? He says in the bottom left-hand corner, last couple lines on the page, Rosh Hashanah, asher zeh yom tchilas ma'asech, on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of man's creation, tzorech ha'adam livchor b'chayim. You're not asking for life, you're choosing life. You're recommitting yourself to what you originally committed yourself to. V'al zeh ha'yom ne'ma re'ei nasati lefanecha ha'yom etzachayim besambavis v'sara. It's about this day. Hayom is always a code word for Rosh Hashanah, as I'll tell us in a second. Re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom. Hashem says, I place before you today esachayim v'samavis v'sara. Life or death? Good choices, bad choices. What do you choose? So you say, I choose life. If you're really offering it to me, I'll choose life. But choosing life doesn't just mean I choose to physically live. I choose to live in the way that I'm expected to live. The word hayom always means Rosh Hashanah. So when Hashem says, Re'ei, look, nasati lefanecha hayom, I'm placing before you on Rosh Hashanah the opportunity to choose life, but if you choose it, you have to really live it. Turn the page. Va'atora ba'atzmo, top of page 4. The Torah itself is mefarish, ma nikra chayim. The Torah says, I'll tell you what chayim is. Harris is what is your vart from yesterday. Uvacharta b'chayim leman tichya ata v'zarecha la'avas Hashem lokecha lishmoa b'kolo uledav kabo ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha. Cling to God, choose life so that you shall live, love Hashem, listen to His words, cling to Him, because that is life. So if you want to sign yourself in the book of life, what do you have to do? You have to love Hashem, you have to listen to His words, you have to cling to Hashem. Harris said a beautiful pshat yesterday. It's the most clear, simple pshat of a pasuk. V'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem, chayim kulchem hayom. Hayom, we know, is what? Rosh Hashanah. So v'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem, if you cling to Hashem, then guess what your Rosh Hashanah is going to look like? Chayim kulchem hayom. The whole day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be what? Kulcha means the whole day. The entire Hayom is going to be Chaim. Hashem just says, check, check, check. Chaim. Give this guy Chaim. Give him Parnassah. Give him health. Give him wisdom. Give him everything. Because he's choosing to live in a way that's what? V'atem adveikim v'Hashem elokeichem. He's choosing to cling to Hashem. That's what Chaim means, says the Or Gedalia. Underline it. Chaim shel dveikis v'Hashem yisbarach zeh nikra Chaim. Period. A life of clinging to Hashem is a life that's truly alive. When you cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's life. Uvachayim kazet sarach ha'adam livchor. That's the life we're being offered to choose for ourselves in Rosh Hashanah. Ki yesh adam chay chayim kazet shemeviu lidei klayon. Because sometimes life is the biggest punishment in the world. Life leads to your destruction. Life leads to being disappointed and depressed and feeling like a failure. Life's not always good. But if you cling to Hashem, life's always good. Even when I got the flat tire on the highway, and it cost me 2 hours and $300, yes. You know why? Because that's what Hashem wanted. It's easy. I'll be mosif on what Harris said yesterday. Let's go back to his pasuk for a second. Vatem advekim what? What's the next 2 words? Vashem elokeichem. Chaim kulchem yom. If you choose Hashem and cling to Hashem, when what? When it's Hashem, or it's elokeichem, when it's also elokim. Don't just choose God in the good times. If you say, I'm going to be dovuk to Hashem, dveikim ba'Hashem, elokeichem, when it's good and when it's bad, when it's Hashem, when it's Hashem's name of kindness, when it's elokeichem, when it's elokim, when it's Hashem's midas adin, when you live like that, chayim kulchem hayom, your life is always alive. Your life is always purposeful. Your life is never random. Because some people, says Lord Gedalia, live a life that's a life of klayon, of destruction. And the life that we're being commanded to choose for ourselves, because we're told, choose life, Hashem's pushing us. Choose a good life. It's a chayim shel dveikis b'Hashem yisbarach. It's a life of choosing Hashem. It's a life of choosing a Kadosh Baruch. Chayim shel asher yasa osama adam v'chay behem. A life that when I do what I'm asked to do, v'chay behem, I really live through the mitzvos. When the world is being recreated, כמו בתחילת הבריאה, היה בחירה בחיים על ידי אדם הראשון. Adam had the opportunity to choose life, and he chose the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, and it caused tremendous destruction to the world. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying once again to get us to make the right choice. He says, four lines from the end of the paragraph, he quotes Rashi, Ani mor lechem shetivchu b'chelek ha'chaim. I'm begging you, Hashem says, pick life. It's such a funny thing. Hashem says, I'm offering you life and death. What do you choose? Choose life. Hashem says, no, but really, pick life. Of course I want to pick life. Hashem says, no, I understand what that means to pick life. Because if you're living a life that's purposeless, if you're living a life without Hashem, then you chose death. You thought you chose life, but you chose death. Risham b'chayayim kriyam mesim. A Rasha who's alive is dead. He's not alive. What makes him alive? Because he's breathing? That's called living? Says Rashi, Hashem is begging us, ani mor lechem. I'm asking you, I'm commanding you. Tivru b'chelek ha'chayim. Ka'odam ha'omer lebeno, like a parent says to a child. B'char lecha chelek yafe. Can you imagine a parent puts before a child two things, right? A bag of garbage, yeah, and a bowl of ice cream. And he says, my son, I want you to pick something that you'll enjoy. Right? Is it so hard for the kid to make the right choice? It's even more absurd when you think about the choice Hashem gives us. Do you want to choose life or do you want to choose death? And we're like struggling to figure it out. And Hashem's begging us. V'alzeh nemar, this is what it says in Tehillim. Hashem menas chalki v'chosi ata tomich gorali. Hashem, you support my lottery. I'll tell you a balaturim in Parshas Re'eh. Imagine if I had, you know, two things in my hand. Again, $100 bill and a banana peel. Yeah? And I put them behind my back. And I said, Jonathan, give her, pick a hand. Right? So you'd say, I don't know, which one should I pick? Should I pick the right? Should I pick the left? You know, and the crowd's getting into it. Pick the right, no, pick the left. Yeah? And then you pick the right hand, and it has the $100 bill. Okay, well, you want $100, great. Now, imagine this. Imagine if I'm standing with two things in my hand, the $100 bill and a banana peel. Yeah, and I say, Jonathan Gibber, take a pick. What do you choose? So now imagine some of the chaver in the room is screaming, pick the left hand, pick the left. Now you can see with your own eyes. What are you talking about, pick the left hand? What are you talking about? It's so obvious that that's not the right hand to pick. The hand with the $100 bill is the right hand to pick. Right? So it doesn't matter what everyone's screaming. You can see which one is the right one. It's an open lottery. It's not easy. Right? You know, the game show, you pick, which door do you choose behind door number one, door number two? Imagine if it's a clear wall. You see the car behind door A. And you're standing there, oh, which one should I pick? You see the other one's empty, and you see the car's right there. What do you mean? Which one should you pick? Says the Baal HaTurim. Listen to the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Re'e. See it with your own eyes. Anochi nosein lefneichem hayom bracha uklala. Hashem says, it's not a mystery. It's not so hard. Just look. Look at tzaddikim. Look at their lives. Right? Look at people who live a life of pleasure seeking. And look where it gets them. Just see it and pick the right thing. It's an open lottery. And you know what Pasuk of the Baal HaTurim quotes? This one. Hashem menas chalki v'chosi ata tomich gorali. Hashem, you're supporting the goral, which means you're pushing my hand towards the right thing. Pick life. And you're like, I don't know, which one should I pick? What should I do? Re'ei, anochi nosein lefnei chamim. Re'ei, just see. Anochi. See anochi Hashem Elokecha. And then you'll see bracha and klal, it's so clear. Which path is good, and which path is destructive. Go to the left-hand column. The last paragraph from the left-hand column. Rabbeinu Yonah b'shari tshuva, in shar gimel os yud zayin, kasav. Vida ki ha-mailos ha-elyonos nimsru lanu b'mitzvas asei, kemo mailas ha-bechira shenemar uvecharta b'chayim. Rabbeinu Yonah says there's a mitzvah in the Torah called uvecharta b'chayim. Mavur midvarv shesvira le, ki bacharta b'chayim is a command. It's not a general, one of these nice dvarim psukim, you know. Choose life, that's nice. Hashem's telling you, no. I told you put on tefillin, I told you keep Shabbos, I told you keep kosher, I told you choose life. What do you mean? What does that even mean? Atam hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kol chamayom. Choosing life means choosing a life of living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Shur goes on and he writes, ki b'charta b'chayim nechshav l'mitzvah saseh. Choosing life is a mitzvah. And look what he writes, underline it. U'mitzvah hazu hi mitzvah kol el kol haTorah kula. Rosh Hashanah, it's the seed that the whole year is going to sprout from. Everything that's going to happen is being put in motion. If you choose life, everything will come from that. Tefillin is helping you to choose real life. Keeping kosher is helping you to choose real life. Learning Torah is helping you to choose real life. The more mitzvahs you do, the more you listen to Hashem, the more you're choosing life. Asher yaseh osam ha'adam v'chai behem. The more you do, the more life you're choosing for yourself. That's what the whole Torah is trying to do. Turn to the next page. Turn to the last page. He says in the left-hand column again, Klal Gadol. Okay, in the paragraph before, he talks about what we learned the other week, how Adam Rishon, before the Chait, had Ra outside of himself. After he sinned, he brought Ra into himself. There's still a certain negativity that's not within your Bechira, so don't choose it. Struggle with your Yetzirah. Don't bring new Yetzirah into your life. You don't need it. And then he says a word to Bnei Yeshiva, because he was a Rosh Yeshiva. Klal Gadol B'Bechira. This is a very important paragraph. We're going to end with this. Klal Gadol B'Bechira. Here is an amazing principle. We're on page Gimel, in the left-hand column, the middle paragraph. Klal Gadol B'Bechira. Here is a major principle when it comes to choice, when it comes to choosing. Shelo ya'amod atzmo b'matzav shiyelo nisyonos. Don't put yourself in a situation that is going to come with nisyonos. So you'll say, well, that's also obvious. Why is Rosh Hashanah teaching us so many obvious things today? It's obvious in theory, and it's not so obvious in practice. Because I can't tell you how many conversations I've had in the last 8 years in YU of people who say, you know, I really shouldn't have gone to that place, but, you know, I went, and then, you know, this happened, and that happened. So I always say, well, it's right. So let's go back to the beginning of the conversation. I really shouldn't have gone to that place. So why did you go to that place? You knew that was going to happen once you went to that place. You knew that was going to happen when you hung out with that chevra. Right? You knew that if you put yourself in that position, so you know it's going to come next. So why did you go? Well, I thought maybe this time. No, but once you set yourself up, you can't blame Hashem anymore. Rabbi Saul Salanter is quoted by the Pachad Yitzchak. I don't remember where it is. Rabbi Saul Salanter said, you can't claim Ones Rachmana Patre if you set yourself up to fail. You can't put yourself in a bad situation and then say, well, once I was there, it was impossible to choose otherwise. Hashem will roll the videotape and say, you're right. In that moment, it was impossible to choose otherwise. The social pressure was so great. Let's imagine, says Hashem, it was impossible to choose otherwise. So you say, so Hashem, ones, beyond my control. So Hashem says, no, hold on, let's roll back the tape another half a minute. Not going there was in your control. Once you were there, you're right, ain't a chanami. But you can't put yourself in a bad situation. You can't bring a nisayon upon yourself and then say, oh, Hashem, the nisayon was so hard. Hashem says, right. I didn't order that nisayon. You ordered that nisayon. So don't come crying after the fact. Says Rav Shur, a Jew has to know, don't put yourself in a nisayon. V'adrabah, v'chir shalot tzarech liyos, shiyam muchrach lasos tov. In fact, put yourself in a place where you're pressured to do good. Where you can't even choose not to do good. Because that's what everyone does there. Right? But then I'm not really choosing it. It's fine, Hashem says. Don't worry. Just put yourself in a crowd where you're going to be forced to do mitzvahs. It's fine. It'll work out much better than you put yourself in a crowd where you're going to be forced to do averos and then complain that, well, it wasn't really my fault. I couldn't choose otherwise. Force yourself to do good. Put yourself in that type of situation. Putting yourself into a situation where it's of necessity that you have to. I'm going to hang out with a crowd where everyone keeps Shabbos, so memela, I have to keep Shabbos. I'm going to sit at lunch with chevra who make a bracha, so there's a peer pressure to make sure I remember to make a bracha when I eat. I can't choose otherwise, I'm going to look like an outsider. So put yourself in that situation. Ukamosha b'nei Yisrael b'mayim et har Sinai amru nasa v'nishma. The Jewish people at Har Sinai said, yeah, we want to do mitzvahs. We chose it. And then yet, what did Hashem do? Hashem put a mountain over our head. And like we discussed, why does Hashem put a mountain over our head? Achar kach hayakof aleim har kegigis. Ki b'nei Yisrael bachru lios mechrachim. You know who suggested putting a mountain over the head? We did. Hashem said, we said to Hashem, force us. If we're not going to choose it, force us. Because we want to do the right thing. Uve'eis amram nasa v'nishma hayiritzonam shi'ala mechreich l'kabla Torah. Nasa v'nishma was an expression of nasa. We're definitely going to do it even before nishma, before we know what it is. And help us, Hashem. Push us to do it. Give us the encouragement. Put myself with people who push me to do good. V'zeh ma'ilas ha'bechira v'ha'ofen ha'yechidi she'bachar yeshiva yachol livchor betov. Says Rabbi Gedalia Shor, in conclusion, a very scary thing. You're at a stage in life where your environment is extremely important. Again, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had over the years with guys who said, I was supposed to go to Binghamton, I was supposed to go to Rutgers, I was supposed to go to here, I was supposed to go to NYU, I was supposed to go to Columbia. I was supposed to... And Rabbi, I'm telling you, had I gone there, I'd be totally different. So you know what I say? You're right. You're right. I know you think you're saying a chiddush, but I know exactly what you're saying. It's not a surprise to me. What are you saying? I'm a bad guy? No, I'm just saying that if you're a normal, healthy, you know, if you still have a body and you're not just a neshama, and you put yourself in that type of environment, you're not going to be able to choose. At some point, you're going to crack. You're not going to be able to just choose to isolate yourself from the social, cultural norms. So says Rav Shor, when you choose to be a ben yeshiva, right, look at the words one more time. Ma'ilas ha-bechira va'ofen ha-yechidi she-bachar yeshiva yachol livchor betov. This is the singular way that a ben yeshiva, again, hopefully at some point you get to leave yeshiva and you've built the foundation that you can actually go to your office where no one else has your values, perhaps, and still continue to choose the Torah choices. But if you don't first enter this, you know, this bubble for a little bit of time, and build yourself up and build a strong foundation, then how on earth are you going to be able to fight against the flow of the world? It's not possible. You have to choose Yamakomo bi yeshiva. V'lo yivchor liestove b'makomo sacherim. And don't be wandering around other places. However, every hour that you put into shir and being in the base medrash, at night seder, getting to davening, these are building blocks for the rest of your life. It makes a huge difference. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm being very serious. Shielo nisyonos livchor berav. If you're walking around, if you're wandering the world, you're going to have nisyonos that will possibly tempt you to choose bad. Put yourself in a place where you can't choose bad. Be in the base medrash. Surround yourself with from friends. And then it's much easier for you to make the right choice. Shirosho verubo mishuka b'torah. That your head and your body should be what? Should be immersed in Torah. V'shia makomo ha-yeshiva v'lo makomo sacher. That you see yeshiva as your shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai. That my time in yeshiva should be yimei chayai, should be the defining moments of my life. To be mishuka in Torah. I'll end with one. Rav Moshe Rosenstein, who was the mashkiach of the Lamji Yeshiva. He said the following. And I heard this from Rav Gedalia Shor's son, Rav Avram Shor. Rav Moshe Rosenstein said, you'll notice that the difference between a human and an animal is very clear in the way that we eat. Right? An animal, by definition, is always hunched over its food, because that's the build of its body. An animal is meshuka, it's immersed in its food. Human beings, Hashem gave us the remarkable ability to bring the food to us instead of bringing ourselves to the food. Which is why if you watch tzaddikim when they eat, right, they never lower themselves to the food, they bring the food to them. They're not hunched over the food. It's animalistic to lean over the food like that. They bring the food to you. You're an adam. Carry yourself like an adam. You watch a tzaddik, you know, a rebbe by a tish, when he's eating his soup, it's hard to eat soup when you're sitting up perfectly straight. If you don't want to spill, I guess you're going to have to put a little bit less soup in the spoon each time. Also, self-control. And you'll see that they bring the spoon or the fork to their mouth instead of lowering themselves to the food. It's a madrega, it's a sensitivity, something to think about. So you could say, as many say, that Hashem made us different than animals. Animals are hunched over their food, and a Jew sits up straight when he eats. Rav Moshe Rosenstein, the mashkiach of the Lamji Yeshiva Zatzal, said the following. He said, no, no, no. You have to understand. We also have to be leaning over our food, crouching over our food. But we remind ourselves when we sit up straight as we're eating our sandwich, or as I'm eating my salad, or I'm eating my soup, as I bring the food to me instead of leaning over it, I'm reminding myself that, guess what? The food that I eat, the physical food that I eat to sustain my body, that's not the ikker food. The real way to eat is leaning, is to be hunched over. The animals are doing Torah Sabriya, what animals are supposed to do. You know what our food is? Chaver, what's our food? Says Rav Moshe Rosenstein, the Torah is our food. So when you see a Jew sitting back in a hammock with an iced tea and a Gemara, it's going to be hard to eat the Gemara that way. When you see a Jew in the Beis Medrash and he's leaning over his Gemara, and he's immersing himself in his Gemara, he's not standoffish, he's not sitting back, but he's crouching over the Gemara like a lion crouching over its prey, that's how a Jew ingests Torah. So we also eat like animals. It's just our food is Torah. That's how we immerse ourselves in it. So Rav Shor says, immerse yourself in yeshiva. Uvacharta b'chaim. These are days, we've had a very big schus this year to have a full elul in yeshiva. It doesn't work out. The calendar doesn't always work out this way. But chever, let's keep learning. Let's keep learning well. Let's keep growing. Let's be serious. Let's be hunched over our gemaras. You know? Let's be excited to immerse ourselves, to be meshuka, like he says, to be immersed in the gemara. And then if you choose to put yourself in good situations, then when a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you the choice on Rosh Hashanah, uvacharta b'chaim, you won't pick what's behind the door that you know is empty. But re'ei anochi nosein lefnecha, you'll see with your own eyes, bracha and klala, and it'll be obvious. V'chart v'chayim. You'll choose life, you'll choose bracha, and it'll all be good. Alright? Okay, we thank our Rebbe for sure. Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll do his Yom Kippur piece, because we need to get that in before Yom Kippur.